It's good to worship. I'm just going to take a few minutes to just reiterate some things that came up last night during prayer. It's a really, really enjoyable thing when a few people get together with the purpose of just praying and, connecting with each other and with God. And last night, it's like this percolating thing happened about light, mostly, and being a light to the world. And there are a lot of analogies, a lot of things that can that we can link to in the natural world concerning Jesus being the light of the world, and therefore we're called to be the same. And the first part of what came up last night had to do with being a beacon, a light that guides, and directs through the fog. That's what Sharon first mentioned last night as we were just sharing with each other. And so I just, a few days ago, Eric and I were talking, and I was reminded of this, of Psalms 119, 105. And because it has to do with light as well. And it seems like, well, it started several days ago with this coming out in conversation and in encouragement and whatever. And and then last night, light comes out again. So let's talk about light a little bit anyway. That's just where we are. And Psalms 119, 105, if you read ahead of that a little bit, like in 98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for I am always aware of them. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your rules. That's in 99. In 100, I am more discerning than those older than I, for I observe your precepts. 101, I stay away from the evil paths so that I might keep your instructions. And let's just pause right there and let's pray. Father, we do love your word. I love your word and I love your ways. I pray, Father, that your word today brings new light, new truth, a deeper understanding of what it is to walk in your commandments, to be wiser and more discerning. Because of that, Father, I just trust that your Holy Spirit comes as a teacher and does that today. Be glorified in all of this. And may you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 102, I do not turn aside from your regulations, for you teach me. Your words are sweeter in my mouth than honey. That's kind of funny that honey came up. The reason that's funny is we had a beehive back here in the back of the building that we just got rid of this last week. And honey was running down the wall and on the carpet. It was pretty crazy. And, of course, Quentin made the comment, well, if we had a little milk, this would be the land of milk and honey right here. Anyway, but let's look at 105. Your word is a lamp. I'll just read the King James real quick. Your word is a lamp. Let's see. Where am I? What do you have up here? Is that King? Yeah, let's just read one Amplified. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's really not much explanation of that in the Amplified. Normally there's like 15 more words. But it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple statement. But I think it speaks very, very directly to encourage us. And here's the way I've described it over and over the years. And I fully believe this. I believe this is what it's telling us. The Word of God shows us where we are. If we look into the Word, it will start revealing us to us. It will show us where we're standing, whether it's right or wrong or bad or good or bad, whatever. He will show us. The Word of God brings light. It brings light to show us our environment, what's around us, and shows us where we're standing. Sometimes that's an encouragement to us. Sometimes it's a correction to us. If we're standing where we might not ought to be standing, what do you think the Word of God is going to do? It's going to point that out. The Word of God will shine and show us where our feet are. Because I'll tell an old Tyler story. This, I did not plan on doing this, but it fits. Long time ago, Tyler's like about Joseph's age, maybe, you know, three or four years old. And we're visiting relatives in California, rich relatives in California. They're a really nice house, glass stuff everywhere. And we hear the kids in the other room, these two kids in the other room, and one of them seems to be running. And we yell, "Tyler, are you running? We told you not to run in the house." He yells back, "I don't know. I wasn't watching my feet." I thought that was great. You can't help but laugh. I'm glad he was in the other room because he couldn't see us laughing. I wasn't watching my feet. How often do we not watch our feet? How often do we not pay attention where we're standing? The muck that we got ourselves into. How often does that happen? It happens all the time. Too often. And then when the light comes, the Word comes and shines light, we say, oh my. Look where I am. Look where I got myself. Because God didn't lead us into the muck, but He will show us when we're there. If it's, you know, when we're willing to look at our feet, look down and let the light shine and show us where we are. Then it says, it is a light unto my path. That's the better news, because that's always a good thing. Shining a light where He would have us walk. The light of God, the Word of God, is a light to show us where to go. And so the most important thing to me in this, I cling to this, I hang on to this, is some of that rock solid place I stand. It tells me I'm never required to step out into darkness if I'm following the will and the Word of God. Now, you can step out in the darkness. You can just jump out on your own and hope things work. Or you can look for that light of God through His Word and through His Spirit speaking to you and teaching you, as it said earlier, a few verses earlier, the Spirit, His Word teaches us. And it will teach us and it will show us the path ahead. Where's it? Where we are and where we're going. What else do you need to know? You already know where you've been, right? You don't need to know anything else to be in the will of God. Because He might have you stand. If you're not in the muck and you're standing where He'd have you stand, the light might shine and you say, "Man, I'm on solid rock," and He's happy with that. You are at peace. And maybe it is all you're supposed to do right now, stand. But the light will shine when it is time to step. To step out into light, never into darkness. If you feel like you're stepping where you can't see, don't take the step. Because He doesn't require that. His Word says, His Word is a light unto our path. That's a really cool promise. I want to jump over to John chapter 8. So that was Old Testament. Psalms kind of talk about the Word of God. But we live in a time when the Word became flesh and lived among us. And now His Holy Spirit infills us. And so let's look at what He had to say about being light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke out again and said, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Amen. Does that agree with what we just saw back in Psalms? Yeah. Once more, Jesus addressed the crowd. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in the dark." Not required to walk in the dark. Man, I'm telling you, that's an important promise to me. I am not required to walk around, stumble through life. He promises, His Word promises to be a light for me. And so, if we are living in light, we can be a light to the world. As He says, He was, so should we be, right? the more Christ-like we are, the more light shines through us. One thing that came up, the idea of the beacon last night, that being a beacon to guide through the fog, to pierce the fog and the darkness. I was just reminded, you know, she mentioned that the definition of a beacon has to do with a beacon to guide ships on the water or planes in an airfield. There's a beacon. Y'all probably see the beacon out here at our airport. It flashes green and white all night long. And a lot of people think, that's kind of silly. Nobody lands in Crane at night. Well, that's wrong. They do. I do. Others do. And I'll tell you, when you're flying at night and you're looking for the place to land and you see the beacon that you know is supposed to be there, when you finally see it, it brings comfort, okay? Because it's dark out there. And it's not easy to find an airport sometimes. Even though there's lights and cities and stuff and highways and stuff, you still have to find that one spot you're supposed to land. You just don't land because you're close to town. You go find the airport and you find the runway, the one you need to land on. And the closer you get, then you turn on the lights of the runway. And then not only do you know about where the airport is, but now you know what path to take. It's a cool analogy to me. Because the more lights come on, the more comforting it is to me. It is a wonderful thing to see the runway lights come on. Say, I'm lined up where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to be on the ground here in a minute, and we're going to make it through this flight. Because all the takeoffs are optional. All the landings are mandatory. Okay? Even at night, they are mandatory. Now, it's not like I'm scared to death when I'm flying at night. Joseph actually flew with me one time at night. He might have been scared to death because it turned into a crosswind thing, and I was going, whoa, kind of a rodeo. It was kind of fun. But you remember the lights. It's like, wow, there's the lights. And when people are looking for a path, when they're looking for the truth, when they sense a little bit of that in you, when they sense some light because you cling to the Word of God, you live out the Word of God, you walk in that light, and they see that from a distance even, they get comfort. It comforts them. It brings peace. The closer up to them you get, the brighter the light shines, and you're willing to offer that light that you have, they are more and more comforted. It's this level of distance and relationship and the intensity of the light. You can think of that that way. You know, if I'm shining a flashlight from over here toward that wall in the dark, it does illuminate some, but if I get over there really close, I can pierce the darkness, really pierce it. I can look at detail. I can really brighten the place when I get close up to the wall. I can look at the detail in the wall, in the grain of the wood. So proximity and relationship brings you opportunity to illuminate things, to bring the light of truth. And some of these things Arthur's been sharing here recently about people that he comes in contact with. People come in looking for money and they find God at the credit union because they get up close to him and he can't help but let the light shine. He just can't help himself. Neither can you, really, when it comes down to it. Somebody comes up close to you, you can't help but for them to recognize you've been with Jesus. You want that. That is our desire, that when people come up close, that they whether they can explain it or not, there's something different about coming in here. Something different. Because I can see things more clearly when this person shares what they have. It brings me comfort. It brings me peace. I can stand here. It's starting to illuminate where I am. Have you ever seen any of those videos? They blindfold somebody and they do all this. And I don't know exactly how they do the lighting and stuff, but people are, you know, deprived of seeing what's going on around them. And then they bring in these things to have them touch or hold, or, you know, they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is they're going to put their hand on. And they are scared to death, even though it's just a rubber snake. They are scared to death. They were about to come out of their skin because they can't see it. Walking around in the dark is a scary place. Thank God we don't have to. And everywhere we go, we take the light so that others don't. So that's what I was encouraged with last night, and let you go ahead.
I really don't have much to add to that. The word beacon, I looked up the word beacon and said, you know, is it actually in the Bible? Well, it is, one time. And the word beacon is in the Old Testament. And so I looked up the Hebrew meaning to the word beacon, and it doesn't mean light in Hebrew. It means pole, which means a place of prominence. So it's a beacon is the light on the top of the pole. So the thing about a beacon is its strategic placement of the light. Okay? So the strategic placement of the beacon at the airport. They want to be seen. The strategic placement of the lighthouse so that ships do not shipwreck. You know, it's not where the sandy seashore is. It's over there by the rocks. So there is no shipwreck. Consider what Jimmy said about Jesus is the light. And so, therefore, we have that Holy Spirit, power-giving Holy Spirit within us. So we are now the children of light. And so we become the children of light. And so now we become the strategic placement of that light. Okay? So now you are now that beacon. At the place where you are to give the light that Christ is wanting to shine in whatever place you are. Right now, I'm dealing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In John chapter 1, he says he has come and he is the light of the world. In Isaiah, on your own, look up Isaiah 60. Write that down or listen to the audio. Isaiah 60 is awesome in the Amplified. It says, "Arise, you who are in spiritual depression." Ever been there? And what? For the light has come. Okay? So, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, he says, "For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light." If you've been following what we've been talking about in Ephesians, Paul has been saying to them, you were exiled, you were Gentiles, you were not a part of us, and now you're grafted in. And he's going to, now you're children of light. Now walk as if you were born there. Don't be timid. Live like that. Okay? Now you're that children of light. All right? So, if you are, now this also, now he's saying, it demands an action. Walk as children of light. So if you are, act like it. Tyler used to be on my basketball team, so he knows about what I'm about to say. When, as a coach, we had a, I tell my kids, after you make a basket, stop celebrating. Because they're getting the ball, they're going down there, and they're making a basket. Because they made a basket, and they spent so much time celebrating, we were losing points. I made a basket! Yay! Come on. Act like you've done it before. You know? Act like you've made a basket before. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. Act like children of light. Act like God can talk to you. Act like you're hearing the Lord. Act like He's moving in your life. Act as you have read this book, which means you actually have read the book. Everybody has an opinion about what this says. Most of them are wrong. Because even those who have read it will take it out of context. I have taken it out of context and go, ooh, I've read that scripture and that's what this means, and because it feels good to me. It has the truth, and it is illuminating by the Holy Spirit to give us light. It is a light unto my path for me to walk in that. If you look, look at verse 13. But when anything is exposed and reproved by the light, is made visible and clear. And where everything is visible and clear, there is light. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Look carefully when you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Have you ever looked at a certain situation and go, what were they thinking? They weren't. They just acted out of natural instinct. What do people use most of the time? They use their past or their past education or their past training to make decisions. People who are trained by the Word of God use the Word of God to make decisions in their life. That's called spiritual maturity. So, there's in Ephesians, look at verse 32, same chapter. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. There's mysteries in this all over the place. He's talking about a husband and wife, and he's talking about their relationship, and we're going to get into all that later on. But if you remember in chapter 2 of Ephesians, he says, there's a mystery. And who is supposed to reveal those mysteries? Who is supposed to give the truth? The church. Us. We are supposed to be revealing the truth of God. We're supposed to be the carriers of the light. Why? Or how? How is this supposed to be happening? Because of the proximity of us to Jesus Christ. In Acts, it says, in chapter 2, I believe, it seemed as they had been with Jesus. How did they seem like they were with Jesus? It rubbed off on them. I love that scripture in Psalms 119. Go ahead and go back to 119 and look at 130. Psalms 119, 130. There's a young girl right now. Marriage is a great mystery to her. She's separated, contemplating divorce. And she's going, I don't know what to do. So I was talking to her about order. It's a great mystery to her. She doesn't get it. To some people, the great mystery is, how do I raise my children? I don't understand. I don't know. My child is rebellious. My child is going crazy. It's all in here. Some people, the great mystery is finances. Still in here. There is no problem outside of this book that can't be solved. Psalms 119, 130. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Hallelujah. I'm not the brightest color in the box. Not the sharpest pencil in the pencil box. So, I rely on this scripture a lot. He says, it doesn't matter. Because the entrance and the unfolding of this word of God will give light. All I got to do is ask. All I got to do is read it and ask for wisdom. He says anyone who asks for wisdom gets it. Do you need wisdom? Do you need help out of a situation? If you're not getting it, go back to your own unlocking of your own soul. Why aren't I receiving what I know is God's plan for me? Maybe you're locked something up in yourself. The entrance and the unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding. So many times I've come to that point where he has given me understanding and discernment and comprehension, and I've gone, wow. I've gone to bed not knowing what to do and woke up with the answer and going, that's what I need to do. I need to make the call. I need to send the email. I need to repent. Whatever it is. Jimmy and I were looking for some documents. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I just lied. Jimmy was looking for some documents. And he was telling me about it. And I said, okay. So we prayed about it. And we were at his house, and we prayed about it. On Saturday night, he comes up Sunday morning. He said, "Arthur, 12:30 at night, my eyes pop open. So I need to go check that file cabinet. Documents were there." Sounds simple, but it's something that dogs you. You know, it's like, God, where are those things? I need those things. I need to have those things. God is concerned about every part of your life. Every part of it. When I was in Fort Gibson, I have a little bit of time. I'll tell you a story. When I was in Fort Gibson, these people were going to buy a car. And I said, "Have you prayed about it?" And he said, "God doesn't care what car I buy." I walked away. But my thought was, you're about to spend a few thousand dollars. You don't think God cares about how much money you spend? I think He does care. Not only do I think He cares, I think He could save you a lot of money, which I think is, for me, is probably the most important part. You know, if God can go before me and make a deal, hey, that'd be great. God wants to do that. God can illuminate my path. God can show me exactly where I need to go and what I need to do and what I need to be. So I believe in light of what He did last night, I believe that the course that He gave us today was that somebody in here needed to hear that. Somebody in here says, I need some light on a situation. Not only do I need light in that situation, I need to know and learn how to walk in light. Not just for one time, but I need to know how to walk in light every day of my life. Take those scriptures down, write them down, and live them out. So, if you need prayer, if you, like, the word says, if two or more agree on anything, it is done. And, if you need prayer, you say, "Man, I'm struggling with this." If you're struggling with sin, get with somebody. "Man, I need help." Let's pray. Let's get together. Let's pray about it, and let's put a finality to this thing. I'm struggling with trying to get an answer for this situation. Then get with somebody and pray about it. I am pretty bold about that stuff. If I see an opening, I'll say, "Hey, want to pray?" I figured they can say no. I'm not forcing them. But I also find that they feel a little, "Oh, I just said no." But if you need prayer, we're going to open that up. I need light on this situation. You may just stand where you're at or sit where you're at, but ask for light. Ask that He illumine your path. If you need prayer with someone, I'll pray with you. Come up here and I'll pray with you. If you want to pray with someone else, seek them out. Go home. Call them up. Man, I really want to pray with you. I really, could you pray with me? They would love it. However it pans out, doesn't matter. Know that God wants to resolve any situation you're in. Why? He wants to make you a strategic beacon where you're at. So any problem that you are in hinders that. You know that? Any problem that you're in hinders that light being its fullest brightness. Okay? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now. You gave us a word in season, in time. So, we have our faith, believing that you're going to work, do your work. So, Father, we make ourselves available to you to work within us and to be able to minister to anyone else who may have need. So, Father, we love you. We love you. Thank you for your word and your truth. Amen.